Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It really is a gorgeous, melancholy tune. Lord Cornwallis had his fife and drum play the then popular tune, "The World Turned Upside Down," at Yorktown. And yes, the Killjoys always seem to appear and say, well, its playing was just apocryphal, but everything about it seems right. It's an old English drinking and protest song from the 1640s, right in the midst of Cavaliers and Roundheads and Oliver Cromwell. And Parliament passed what became known as the Christmas Ban, although not really aimed at banning Christmas itself, aimed more at its overwhelming celebration. Think a boar's head festival combined with the 12 days of Christmas with plenty of drinking and everything that goes with it. The Puritans didn't like that aspects of it. And the words convey a sense of just how wrong it seems for the king and the gentry to squash a Christmas celebration. Everything good rushed out, and the world turned upside down. The same unimaginable fact of the greatest army in the world losing to a band of colonials who managed to win the war while losing almost all the battles. The world had not seen something like Washington at Yorktown or a crownless state founded since antiquity. The world had turned upside down. And now, the core of today's gospel might be the original words to "The World Turned Upside Down." Mary's song, the Magnificat. Whether you call it a religious quest, or true religion, or any of the other words that the feeling goes by, the way of the world assumes that men seek God. You offer the appropriate sacrifices and hope that gods are pleased, or at least they're content enough that they don't cause you problems. You pray for the gods' favor. You pilgrimage to holy sites so that you might find them. You build monuments and markers for those who are along the same path. Here's where I found God. This is the noble path. This is the hero's quest. We love this story so much that we tell it over and over and over again, even down until today. Every movie is warmed over Joseph Campbell and the hero with a thousand faces. The best-selling books are all forms of self-help. You too can find God in whatever form you want him, if you follow this path that I've blazed for you. And that's always been the way of the world. The problem with that way is that nobody ever really found God. They might have found something that they called that. They might have found a good enough substitute, got rich enough along the way, or just ran out of energy. He went to Paris, a wonderful song along those lines. Or maybe developed or adopted a philosophy of skepticism that exempted them from the quest. The way of the world is that man attempts to move to God. And the cruelty is that man can never reach God. The ancients had their stories of mortals made into gods, the divination of great men. But Alexander and Caesar were just as dead, neither of them having what they most desired, finding that it fell through even their great reach. And I'm going to use the Old Testament name for God here on purpose. The Jews never found Yahweh. They weren't looking for him. They would often go off on the world's quests of finding the Baals and journeying to the high places. But Yahweh was always different. You didn't seek Yahweh. Yahweh drew near to you. The world turned upside down. Rich old Abram was sitting in Haran, the endpoint of his father Terah's quest. And he probably would have been content to spend his days in Haran with Sarai and Lot as his heir. But Yahweh drew near and tells Abram to leave and gives him a promise. It's not a religious quest because it wasn't a search for God. God had already drawn near to Abram. God had given him his promises. The world was turned upside down. And my personal favorite verse of the Bible is another verse like this. Imagine Jacob having grown up around Abraham and Isaac and known about the promise. Rebekah, his mom, making sure that she told him that he was the heir of the promise. And she had commanded Jacob and hoodwinked her blind husband. But it never sank in as Jacob was on the run from his brother. He'd never seen or found Yahweh. But on the run, at that lowest moment, Yahweh drew near. It's Jacob's ladder is the story, and God comes near with his promise. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And Jacob awakes and shouts, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. How often is that true? That God is with us wherever we go, and we don't know it. But God draws near. The world turned upside down. Jacob's life is far from a hero's journey. It's one bumbling plot after another. But Yahweh was faithful. And you can work your way through the entire Old Testament. You don't find Yahweh. Yahweh draws near to you, and the world turns upside down. Kingdoms rise and fall, armies encircle you, and then are struck down overnight. The least of the tribe are chosen again and again. because Yahweh doesn't draw near to the Alexanders and the Caesars and to those that the world recognizes as the winners of the quest. Yahweh draws near to the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And the world turns upside down. None more so than the Blessed Virgin Mary. God drew near to her, nearer than any other of mankind. She was not on some quest. The world would never have known her name. Yet the Archangel Gabriel lauds her. And Elizabeth, her higher status relative, recognizes what has come to her. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? But the Lord draws near. The world turns upside down. He looked on my humble estate, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Proud are scattered in the thoughts of their hearts. The mighty cast down, the humble exalted, the hungry filled with good things, while the rich are sent away empty. Just as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his offspring, forever. The world is turned upside down because God has drawn near and become man. We don't need to seek him because God has come to us. He's come to us in this approachable form, a baby born in a manger. Nothing about him to call attention to him. Nothing other than the Word of God. Today, the kingdom draws near to you. Today, our world is turned upside down. Because all of the promises are yours. You are the heirs of the promise. Your sins are forgiven. You have an eternal inheritance. You have a mansion made for you in the New Jerusalem. God has drawn near to you. And he promises to be with you all of your days. Wherever you go. The world wants us to think that nothing good can ever come to us. We have to go out and conquer it. You have to prove yourself worthy. But Christ comes near to the humble. He scatters our proud thoughts that we could ever find God. He sends away all those who think they have everything that they need. All the ways of the world are turned upside down when Christ comes to us. Coming to the undeserving. Coming to the tired. Coming to the despairing. Coming to the hungry. To those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Christ comes to us, offering himself as our strength and as our hope and as our food. The question of the Magnificat is, what kind of soul are we? Are we the soul still crusading for the ways of the world? Do we think that God is at the end of the road? That God is the end of the quest? Or has the world been turned upside down? Christ has drawn near. And everything that we do, our soul magnifies what God has already done. Does our spirit rejoice in His salvation? Has your soul been made full in the promise? Or are you walking the ways of the world? God draws near. The world has been turned upside down. Which way are you going? Amen.